I basically preach in Sunday school. Y'all just don't hear it. Some of them do, but... Okay, that was the right answer. I'll pay y'all later, just in case. Thank you. Some of y'all have great kids. I won't single anyone out, but I am thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight, and it's something that I've never done before. Shocker. I feel like I say that just about every time I preach. But pastor has asked me to give a testimony of my trip to Albania and preach all at the same time. So we'll see how this goes. And I pray that Kelvin was asking me, like, you're supposed to do Albania and preach tonight, right? And I'm like, something like that. And I pray it comes out. It's been a challenge for me, but God knows what we need, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. And so I won't give you a text just for a few minutes, and we'll get, I'll try to shove 8 days into about 5 or 6 minutes or 45 minutes. I don't know. He didn't time me tonight, and so, but he's sitting over there tonight, and he's not always here when I preach. So I preach to this 2/3 of the auditorium. Y'all know why. And, no, but I am thankful for our pastor, and he's a blessing, and I'm privileged to have the opportunity to work here, and he's a blessing. So, but we went to Albania about 2 weeks ago. I've time all runs together. I don't know if that's right or not, but we went, me and Titus, and we enjoyed the time. I will say going home was a lot more pleasurable than coming or going to Albania, just because. At the last second, they called us to the ticket booth in Germany. We were in Frankfurt, and they said, we're going to upgrade your ticket. I said, okay. I mean, we already had, like, the business class coming home. And then, we're going to upgrade you to Polaris class. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And so we get there, and there's a recliner. I'm like, okay, I can do this. Because on the way there, we were not in a recliner, okay? Like, in the normal 8-hour... Like, my shoulders are this wide, but the seat's about this wide. And we're there for like 8.5 hours, okay? Just a long trip. But I'm like, on the way home, we're going to be exhausted, so we'll pay the $50 and upgrade our ticket. You know, at least we'll have shoulder-width seats, and so we'll do that. And then we get the recliners on the way there, and they basically laid flat. You could almost take a nap. It was wonderful. Brother King told me he did not get the same treatment on the way home, and I really feel bad because there was a lot of work that went into the time that we were there. And while we were there, we did a 3-day VBS there at the church in Valora, and so that was a really awesome experience. It was overwhelming because, like, kids were everywhere, and they don't speak English, and so I'm just sitting over here in the corner. I'm like, you shouldn't do that, but I don't know what to tell them. And so I'm like, well, someone will tell them eventually. So it was really outside of my nature. But then it kind of reminded my own kids, like, they're all over the place too. And so it was kind of at home, but at the same time, it wasn't. And so at least my kids speak a version of English, and so it goes well. But I don't want to make it all fun and games. Like, I really did enjoy my time with the Kings, and I'm really thankful to get to know them better in their own home. And that's something that not everyone gets to do, that I had the opportunity to do. And I want to say thank you to the church and, of course, to Pastor for allowing me to go. That's 10 days that I wasn't here. Not that I do a bunch, but someone had to be in the office or someone had to do my responsibilities, and the other staff helped to get some of those things done. So I just want to say thank you for that. But one of the most impactful things that hopefully I was a blessing while I was there, but I feel like I got more of a blessing from being there. And one of those things happened on Sunday morning. Brother King was gracious enough to ask me to preach on Sunday morning. That wasn't the blessing. The blessing happened before that. But I had really struggled the night before. It was my turn to present a lesson in at one of the kings, and I had King David. And if you've ever preached or taught with an interpreter, it's really a challenge that I've never had anything close to as challenging as that was. Just for me, I try to speak in good sentence structure here, but I don't. And then you take it there and you don't again, and it just complicates things. So Brother King's like, just just simplify as best you can, but just preach the Bible. And God's word will not return void. And that was helpful to me. Of course, my dad's texting me every 5 minutes, how'd it go, how'd it go. I don't know if they understood one word of what I said Saturday night. And I'm not sure they understood anything Sunday that I preached either, but I'm thankful that God allowed me to do that there. Brother Titus did a good job there as well. He got to preach on Wednesday night, and then I believe it was Friday night of the VBS. Did a wonderful job, and we're thankful that he was with us. Just having someone who had done it before, and then someone that could halfway understand Albanian, me. And he did a good job, so I'm thankful for that. But when you go to a new place, you don't understand the language. Okay, especially if they don't speak English. They may speak a different type of English, but at least you have a running shot at it. Albania, you speak Albanian. And they told me there'd be some that speak English. Well, that some was very minimal, at least the ones that I ran into. And so the first few days was really a challenge for me, just trying to mentally, I can't even talk to anyone. I can talk to Titus, but I've been with him all summer. And then there's the kings, and you know, we're getting to know each other, and so there's just like this random stranger comes and lives at their house. Like, we know each other by occupation, basically, right? And so there's all these different things going on. And then I'm sitting in the Sunday morning service, and I recognize a tune. That's a blessing, right? That you actually recognize the song that we're singing in a different language, okay? So I'm sitting here, I'm getting ready to preach. I just told you that the night before was really a struggle for me. And so I went home and basically read everything in my notes. So I'm working on little sleep, already jet lagged, all the, you add everything up together, okay? Not in a great mental shape. Could we be fair, okay? Not that I'm starting in a good mental shape, okay? We understand that. But I'm sitting there and I recognize the song, and I honestly don't even remember what the song was 100%. Okay, but all I could do was think about the text that we're gonna preach out of tonight, and I want to turn to Psalms chapter 67, and it's actually a text that God had used in my life at a different time. That right before I'm about to go try to be a blessing to this church who has no idea who I am. They know that they're started out of our church, and that's really all they know about me, is that I'm from a church down the line that has tried to invest in them, but I'm trying to bridge this gap all in just a matter of hours, okay? And here we get to Psalms chapter 67. Let's all stand together, and we'll read the text tonight, and we'll work in a little bit more of the trip in just a minute, but the trip to Albania was a blessing, and I don't want to minimize that, but at the same time, I really want to preach tonight of what God has laid on my heart, and I pray that comes out how God wants it to. So Psalm chapter 67, verse 1 says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all the nations. And here's the verse that God used that moment as I was listening to them sing a song that I knew the tune of it, but it was a different language. And I couldn't quite, like I could follow it, but I couldn't at the same time. Okay, it says this in verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Well, what do you mean? Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. It's almost like this next statement's kind of important, right? It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall what? Shall fear him. See, as I was sitting in that service on a Sunday morning, it's 7 o'clock here, I'm getting ready to preach, there was a common denominator, and that is this, that God must be praised, and that we must fear him. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for your word, and I pray that you'd help me this evening as we endeavor to preach. I pray that you would allow me to speak clearly. Lord, I don't want to minimize the trip, but I want to maximize your word, and I pray that you'd help me do that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Due dates are wonderful, aren't they? Due dates. Due dates. Do y'all have a due date window yet? Are y'all sharing that information? February 24th. We have a due date, okay? Pastor said balance is a wonderful thing. I'm still waiting for the wonderful thing. I just know there's four of them now. And so, no, they're wonderful kids. But due dates, it gives us something to hope for, doesn't it? It's like, around February 24th, you know, we're going to have a new baby boy. Or maybe it's a school project. There's a due date. I had this experience a few times at Heartland. And one of those due dates was for the MOBS project. And it's one of the biggest projects that you'll do at Heartland as a freshman, okay? And I know some of you may not fully appreciate it, but some of you will. And you will appreciate or hopefully sympathize with me in a moment, because we all know where this is going, is that I had put off this project and put off this project and put off this project until it was due about 2 weeks out, okay? So you may say, well, that's not very much. Well, the MOBS project, you have to go through a book of the Bible. In my case, it was the book of Acts. And I had to go through and mark each of the proper nouns. That's pretty easy, okay? I mean, there's quite a few in the book of Acts. There's over 250. I don't remember how many there were. I think it was 273 is what I had. But they're proper nouns in the book of Acts, okay? We say, well, that's interesting. That's not the long part. So then you have to go to the Strong's Concordance, and you have to put the number in, G, whatever, okay? And then you put in the definition that is provided there. Then you have to go to a commentary, and you have to give an idea of what Paul or whoever it was talking about in that area. Okay, so you have to do these four times, but you have to do it throughout the entire book of Acts. Okay, you have to get at least 250. So I'm doing math. That's 1,000 entries that you have to put into this project, okay? So like I said, it's 2 weeks out, and I honestly had given token attention throughout the semester because I don't want to be that guy, all right? You don't want to be the guy in MOBS class, because Brother Jett comes in, he's like, some of you will not do this project, and I will see you next semester. Okay, I don't want to be that guy, all right? Because I want to pass the class and do well in my studies. However, 2 weeks out, I'm like, I should really get this done. I'm going to turn in early, actually, because I'd already been working on this due date that was coming. Okay, it was due. I go to my computer, and it's gone. All of it. To this day, I have no idea what happened to it. Okay, so I honestly hadn't done a lot of work, but I had done some. Okay, because I knew that the date was coming, that this would all happen, and all of it was going to come, and I needed to turn it in, and it wasn't there. Well, you say, well, what did you do? Well, I stayed up that night, and I did it. I did all 1,000 entries in just a matter of a few hours. Okay, so that shows you that it's not a hard project, but it just takes time because the due date was coming. Okay, so Brother Jett expected a paper to be due. It was coming. It had not arrived yet, but I knew that there was an exciting, hopefully, A waiting for me. Okay, what I didn't know is that if you turn it in early and do it properly, you don't have to take the final. So I ended up having to take the final because I didn't turn in early because I waited, but it was done. Okay, so that was just a side note. It had nothing to do with the due date or anything like that. But I know y'all enjoy that information sometimes, so I give it to you. So we're talking about due dates, okay? We've talked about babies being born or a project being due. It was all gone, you know, and I had nothing other than just I had to get it done, okay? So we're going to leave it there for a minute. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 67. Before we look at the psalm itself, the title is there. It says, to the chief musician on Neganoth, the psalm or a song. Okay, some Bibles probably have that somewhere along the way. And that's the title in my Bible. And it says Neginoth. So off the top of my head, I don't know what that means. Okay, so I look it up. And it comes up as this. The title gives us the understanding that it belongs to a set of five other psalms in the Scripture. It would be Psalms chapter 4, Psalm 60, Psalm 54, 55, and 70. So as trying to be a student of the Word, I went through and read those songs. And, you know, I came to this conclusion that there's something common about all of them. Each of them, there's an interaction with the very person of God, with the writer. Okay, there's an interaction with them. And we notice ours in verse 1. Let's read that. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Okay, so that a version of that phrase will appear in each of those psalms. That the presence of God or the countenance of God would be upon us. All right, so this is important for us to understand as we go forward, because it's what brings all these psalms together. But there's also something else about that title, Neginoth, that's important for us. It tells us they were supposed to be sung with stringed instruments, and the audience, here might be the most important part, was the choir director. The audience was to the chief musician, okay? But when it said Neginoth, this was specifically to the choir director, the one who was in the forefront of bringing forth praise to God. The one who was responsible for those who... It was time to praise God, so what are we going to sing? It was time to lift up our Father in heaven. But before you do, I have something specific for the choir director for us to understand before we get there. Okay? So this morning, or this evening, I'm going to ask that all of you plug in as your choir director skills, and let's listen just for a minute to whatever was important to this choir director, okay? There was something the writer wanted to communicate with them that was important that we need to make sure that we understand. Because after all, God inspired it and preserved it in His Word, and while we're not all choir directors, we must have an understanding that there's something here for all people, okay? The author makes his point very clear through repetition and literary structure that aids the interpretation of this text, actually. I want to begin in verse 1, and I want us to understand that God's people require three things. God's people require three things. First, it says, God be merciful unto us. We must have His mercy. There's no substitute for the mercy of God. When we think about the mercy of God, we think about what God has withheld from us, don't we? We think that as we look at our own history and what we rightfully have earned, we have earned separation from God, haven't we? Because we're sinners. We have earned God's wrath, but in His mercy, He has removed that from us, hasn't He? Amen. He's given us an opportunity. He's given us an opportunity to request His mercy. Mercy defined is withholding the deserved outcome. Now, the Israelites, in the context here, received God's mercy time and time again, didn't they? When we think about how that they earned destruction, but God would send them a prophet to help them. Or God would send them a preacher to preach, thus saith the Lord. And this is what you needed to fix in order to be right with me as God. You need to do this because you have wronged me. You have earned something that deserves wrath, but I want to show you mercy. I want you to fix it. God's people need God's mercy. Amen. Well, what else do you think the people of God need? Well, we need His blessing, don't we? Not only do we need His mercy, we could think about salvation, how that it was so merciful of God to send us His Son, an opportunity that we could come to Him and repent and be saved. But, you know, after salvation, we still need His blessing. Because if we live in a way that is rejecting what God has told us to do over and over again, do you think God's going to bless that? He's not, is He? God has set in His Word time and time again how we're supposed to deal with the church, or how we're supposed to deal with this personal issue in my life, or this sin in my life. But if we neglect everything that He has said, how can He bless that? If I tell Cole to go clean his room, and he goes and watches Cocomelon, can I honor him? I can't, can I? Because he chose to reject what I just said. So what has he earned? Well, he's earned wrath. He's earned judgment. But there's something else we need. We need his blessing. When we are living in a way that honors God, it says God has a desire to bless us. God has made a way of salvation for us so that we could have a relationship with Him. If we always go and reject this relationship with God, how can He bless that? Well, He can't, can He? Could we say the reason that we're here is to further enjoy the blessing of God? Well, you say, what about the gospel? We're right. We do what we're supposed to do, and we, along the way, get to enjoy the blessings of God. I got to go to Albania, and I got to enjoy that country. Why? Because we wanted to go help a missionary who was giving the gospel to a people that needs it. Amen. And along the way, what did I get to do? I got to enjoy the blessings of God along the way. I've never seen a castle, but Brother King allowed for that to happen. I've never got to enjoy, and I mean enjoy, the food in Albania. But Brother King allowed that to happen. Well, why? Because we, as a team, we went over there and to try to be a blessing and a help for those who are sharing the gospel abroad. But what did we get to do along the way? We got to enjoy the blessing of God just trying to be a help and a blessing. Doesn't that happen here as well? We have a job, and yes, there's work there. But what do we get to do along the way? Well, we get to enjoy the blessing, don't we? I hope you have a job that allows you to enjoy the blessing of a paycheck. Or maybe it's school. We say, well, how is that a blessing? Well, one day you'll get done. Maybe not today. You may go through the night. It may be one of those days, okay? But one day you'll get to enjoy that diploma in the shelf that you never look at. And then you get to go get a job, and it's just something that you can mark off your checklist, your bucket list to do. It'll be great. It'll be great. It'll be great. Or you could hang them on the wall. I don't know. But here's the most... I know all three are important, that we need His mercy. And we need His blessing. But can't you say that we need His attention? Man. To cause His face to shine upon us. Man. What does that even mean? Fair. Well, in Exodus chapter 34, Moses had been back up to the mountain for the second time. He had thrown down the tablets the first time because the Israelites had broken the law of God. And what does he do? He throws them down. They literally break, don't they? And he goes back up, and he's getting more instruction from God, and he has to write out the laws again. And he had spent so much time with God, in the very presence of God, that his face literally shone. That's what the Bible says. It shone to the point that they were fearful of Moses because he had been with God. So in Numbers, I know in Exodus chapter 34 is when the account, but and then it's an illustration in the book of Numbers again that his face shine upon thee. It's actually part of the blessing in Numbers chapter 6, and how that if we want to be blessed of God, it's literally we have his attention. Isn't that such a human way of putting it? To have God's attention? That we're living in a life such a way that God's like, that's my boy. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Or that's my daughter. You know why? Because his countenance was changed in such a way that God rubbed off on him. Have you ever been to a chalkboard? Or maybe that's too old for some of them. Like a dry erase board works too. Chalkboards are better. Kind of. Anyways. But if you go put your hand on the board, or you know, you can see all the white chalk or whatever color it is because you had spent time with the board, okay? Well, that's the same idea. Or we could use the illustration of bacon. Bacon's better, all right? Cole asked me the other day, yesterday's my day off, and he was asking me, is sausage or bacon better? We had a good discussion like men should have, and we came to the conclusion that bacon was better, at least for Dad. And I think that's what he said too. But good sausage is hard to beat. Yep. But bacon permeates the house. Yep. Like, it's not just in the kitchen, and it's not just in the pan, because the grease goes everywhere, including into your pores, okay, when you eat it. It's such a part of you that 2 days later, you can still smell the bacon, can't you? Maybe not 2 days, okay? Maybe we should clean better. But here's the idea, that when we spend time with bacon, it's a part of us for several hours, isn't it? It gets soaked into us. Well, to have his face shine on us, that our face shines to other people, is the idea. That's awesome. So why would that be? Why would we do that? Like, well, the second verse says that. So there's a reason for it here. That thy way may be known upon the earth. Thy saving health among all nations. You know what the Mallards are doing in Poplar Bluff, or the Kings are doing in Albania? They're making his way known. Amen. And his saving health to all nations. That's what they're doing. Okay, they're on the front lines, if you will. All right? So, well, what is thy way? The very way that God has laid out in his word. This is the way of salvation. This is what a church should look like. This is how we baptize. This is how we take the Lord's Supper. This is the Bible we use. Sorry, should I start over here? Okay. That's the way. In this case, it's probably talking about the way of salvation because it says, thy saving health among all nations. Saving health is the poetic way to say salvation. Thy saving health. Because if their spiritual health is poor, then they're going to go to hell, aren't they? Well, then we see the refrain of the text, don't we? The chorus, if you will. Well, what is that? Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. I asked preacher this afternoon, or this morning, I guess, if you could define praise, what would it be? And he used several big words in a row. And then he said something like an exuberant excitement about what God has done. Something along those lines, preacher. So then I was thinking. I had already been thinking, for the record. But I came to the conclusion that at the Oklahoma football game on Saturday that I had the opportunity to go to, there were some exuberant people. They were excited about, for whatever reason, the Oklahoma Sooners. And we don't believe in purgatory. But that was close. No, I'm kidding. But they were excited about the scores, weren't they? You may not have been watching the Oklahoma game. Maybe it was another game or something else that gets you excited about it. Okay. Now, in my case, there was a stadium of 83,000 people cheering for one guy with a ball to cross a goal line or to stop them from crossing the goal line. And they were mostly all in one accord in their praise of this person. Now, when we leave that poor example of praise aside and we consider the mercy of God, we consider God's blessings for His people, and we consider that if I spend enough time with God, that I have an opportunity to allow God to rub off on me, well, what's the only right result? Praise Him. And I mean praise Him. With excitement. I'm saying like happy. Whoa, we're in church. It's got to be like pretty chill, pretty calm down. Okay. Something like that. I was never in the military, y'all can tell. No, exciting. There should be order, yes? Because everything God does has order. But why can't we say amen? Or praise God. Or hallelujah. Well, why? Because whatever pastor just said, or whatever the song, we agree with that. And that happened in my life. And I can praise God because of that.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
But you know, this chapter of the book of Psalms wasn't just written to Berean Baptist Church, was it? I mean, it is, but it's not, right? I mean, it's written to all of us, but it says, let the people praise thee. So that's this people, right? But then the writer says, wait. Let all the people praise thee. So it's not just Berean Baptist Church, but it's the churches across the world. It's not just that it's our responsibility to praise God, but it's every other church, every other person, we got to praise God. Well, how do we do that? Or why should we do that? Let's ask why. Well, because God's mercy to us and God's blessed us and God's spent time with us so much that because of that, we get to look like Him. And when we have a reason to tell people that there's salvation in your future because God loves you and God has a reason that you're here, praise Him. Well, why should all the world praise Him? Verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Well, why? For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Well, this isn't exactly happened yet, right? It hasn't. But when they had the opportunity to know God, He's ruling right now. He's in charge. It's not that I'm in charge, or else y'all would have to praise me. No, God's in charge. And He deserves the praise. It's not what I can muster up of myself, but no, it's that God deserves the praise. Because why? He is righteous. And you know what the bottom line is? Is that He's going to judge me just like He's going to judge you. That word righteous means a straight line that's not going to change. It's straight. And there's no variance in it.
Amen.
There's no opportunity for it.
Right.
And that's how He's going to govern the nations. It's straight. And the same rules that I have are the same rules that the people in Africa have, because they're going to be judged according to His law. So what ought we to do? Because of that, what ought we to do? We ought to praise Him. Because there's no difference between me and you. Because we're all judged the same way. It's according to His word. And that's not going to change. Because it's straight. And it's right. There's no other opportunity for us to kind of curve it this way. No, it's straight. And that's worthy of praise. Because if we have an opportunity to serve a God that says, well, it's Monday and I like grilled cheese, so I expect a grilled cheese today. Or it's Tuesday and I want steak. No. It's always the same. There's no variance. It's exactly what God has told us in His Word, and it's not changing. My generation has an opportunity to mess a lot of things up. We do. But so is your generation. So is the next generation. But there's things that don't change. And that matters. And that's worthy of praise.
In verse 6, then.
So what is then? It's a timing word, isn't it? Because of that, now we have this, right? Then. So then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Now, wait a second. We're praising God because He's merciful to us. And we're praising God because He has an opportunity to bless us and we're like Him. And so, because we're praising, we get blessed again? Exactly. That's what it says. Because if we bless Him, He's going to bless us again. So, does that mean I should just bless God because I want more blessings? No. Because then you miss the point. Well, what's the point? He is straight and He's not changing. That's what we praise. It doesn't vary from day to day. Well, today you got to offer this, and today you got to offer that, and today you got to do this just to keep your salvation. No, that's not how it works. God's way is straight and it's not changing. Could we say it this way? Our big God deserves big praise. Our big God, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who has shown mercy to us because, you know, we've sinned against Him. And yet, He has chosen to love us anyways. We have separated ourselves from God. Yet in His mercy, He loves us. And in His grace, He made a way for us to come to Him. That sounds like a pretty big God. What's the right response? Big praise. Our big God deserves big praise. Amen. Our big God deserves big praise. There's one more thing, and we'll be done. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall what? Shall fear Him. It's not that people get to see me praise God. But when they see me praise God, it's not about me, is it? It's about fearing Him. Amen. That's the best part. Well, you say, well, how is that? It's because my testimony gets to point others to fear God. God's impact on me has changed me in that my face is shining toward Him, yes, but to those around me. Does your testimony point others to Jesus? Does your praise point others to Jesus? Does your countenance point others to Jesus? I came to this conclusion in Albania that I couldn't sit by someone and share the gospel with them. There's a language barrier. I couldn't do that. Even though, you know, we had an opportunity, a time or two to have that opportunity. And it just, I couldn't do it. And so there were others that helped, okay? But there were other ways that I could help. And how was that? I could praise God. And I could have a countenance that showed that I want to be the best Christian that I can be to make a difference by praising God with my life. We should share the gospel because we don't have a language barrier here. But why can't we couple that with a countenance that's been with God? Because, I mean, our big God deserves big praise. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for your word, and what I am thankful for the opportunity to go to Albania, and I'm thankful that you can use your word there just like you used it